Remember when you were a kid, like you were carefree, you're kind of convinced you were invincible? Yeah, well, buckle up because we're about to pull the curtain back on our childhood and dive headfirst into the world of inner child work. It's that magical place where our inner child is hiding, like waiting to be rediscovered. That and the few emotional scars that we'd rather kind of keep buried. So let's take a roller coaster ride through memory lane and maybe even poke some fun at our past selves. After all, like reconnecting with that little rascal inside us might just help us find our way back to the good old days, or at least make some sense of all the chaos we call adulthood. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, today we have a special treat for you. Joining us is the remarkable Kathy Ho, a mother, comedian, and an aspiring trauma and inner child coach. Who's all about unearthing those hidden treasures of our youth? I can't wait. I'm going to try and get some of mine out. Kathy's here to guide us on this special adventure into our own past as we uncover emotional triggers and rediscover our long-lost childhood spirits through the power of sharing her own story. So get ready to awaken yourself as she shares her stories. Welcome, Kathy Ho. How are you today?
I'm good today. No, I don't really talk like that. I like to throw people off with my Asian accent.
You were talking like that the whole time we were in the green room.
I
Oh
throw
my
people
God.
off because they're like, she doesn't look fob, but she really sounds fob, and fob means fresh off boat.
Thank you. I
Like
was going to have to ask, but I didn't know. So.
even the that acronym is fresh off boat.
Oh, yeah. It's fresh off boat. I
Exactly.
can't do it. So, Kathy, we are going to talk about this inner child thing today. So let's start with the basics. Why don't you share with us like your personal journey into inner child work and like how it's impacted your life?
Oh man, do you guys have like 10 years?
Yeah, oh, you got 10, 20 minutes. Yeah, no, go for it.
Okay.
We'll keep
So
talking until we're tired of it.
it kind of started when I became a mom. And it just I just started getting really angry, and I didn't understand who I had become. I lost all sense of my identity. Like, am I a wife? Am I a sister? Am I a mother? I just lost all control, and I started sinking into postpartum depression. I didn't understand it, so I started to get curious with myself, and then I noticed, my girlfriend's, she's now a friend of mine. Her Instagram page kept popping up when I kept, Google searching, why am I angry? And why am I so anxious? Why can't I just be the person I used to be prior to being a mom? So then her things start popping up, I think because of the algorithm. And I realized that she was a registered professional counselor and a self-worth coach. So I guess the algorithm kind of just led me there. I started looking at her page and her memes, and it kind of just triggered me to get a little bit more curious with myself. So I DM'd her and I started asking her questions, and we met up, and she started talking about this like inner child work, and it just kind of flourished from there, really.
Well, do me a favor so that everyone understands what the heck inner child work is for the people who are unfamiliar with that concept. Just explain what it is and tell us like the crucial aspects of personal growth and healing that it involves and all that kind of stuff.
For sure. We all are children at one point in our lives, right? And so it's very naive of us to think that whatever happens to us as children doesn't necessarily affect us as adults. So that's what kind of the inner child is. And it's like unresolved trauma or incidences as children that we don't necessarily know in the moment because we're children, right? Things could be as simple as freezing on stage when we're in kindergarten trying to sing and we forget all the words. That could be traumatic, right? And we
Gotcha.
store that in our body, and then it kind of festers as we get older into triggers and how we react to certain things.
Just a question here. Like, at what age, and this is just me, because I've always thought that now that I look at like people and they're older and I go, the young people, it's like, I don't know when do people actually ever grow up and go, like, I'm an adult now, other than age. I think everyone stays a child all the time.
I would agree because I am one that tries to not necessarily live a younger life, but I, after doing all this work, there was a period where I just was not laughing anymore, you know, and I was always that girl that would poke fun at people, make light of situations, start using my accent to break tension in the room. I was always that girl, you know, and that's always kind of lighthearted. And I feel like when you look at children, they're always lighthearted. They ask such innocent questions and we never get mad at children. But as we become adults, even though we're in adult bodies, yeah, we still have that inner child in us where we are still very innocent. But because we're in adult bodies now, there's a certain level of expectation that you shouldn't do this or you should do this and just kind of fit into this box, if you
Yeah,
will. So I
absolutely.
love the way you put that when you're saying that, you know, we are all children because we all are. And if we can acknowledge that, I think there would be more compassion and empathy towards from adult to adult versus like, oh, we're going to give a child compassion and empathy, but why are we not doing that with each other as adults?
Absolutely, absolutely. So in that case, then, like, what role do you think culture and society and family expectations play in, like, our development of our inner child?
Oh my God, you know what? My Asian culture really suppressed my inner child. Like I had to grow up pretty quick. Being the youngest of eight children, my twin and I,
You have a
we
twin.
always had to serve. Yeah, I'm a twin. Yes, not all Chinese people look the same, but we do. yeah, she's literally my womb mate, is what she calls it.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so we literally had to serve our elders all the time. And we didn't just have two parents because we had older siblings. We had to kind of confine to everybody else's way of living. So it took us very long to understand that, like, we are all our own individual people. And so I feel like for me, I started becoming more awake to who I am when I became a mom because it really hit me in the face because I'm like, why are all these emotions coming up? Why am I so angry? And then that's kind of the trajectory and path that I kind of started diving into to understand where all of this stuck emotion was coming from, I
Yeah.
guess.
So I got to ask the twin question. So, like, as a twin, because people say, like, twins bond, you know, you guys do the same thing. Are you fraternal or are identical twins?
We're identical. We don't necessarily look so much alike anymore because we just have different styles, the way we do our hair. We would do our makeup. We're very similar in personality. And I think that's what caused us to bump heads a lot of the time. Like when we were younger, we were best friends. And then as we got older, we were kind of finding our own place, right? And because we're both very stubborn, there was no give and take. So
Interesting.
we were kind of bumping heads. But now I feel like we're kind of coming back because we're both doing our inner child work.
That was my question right there. So, like, now you're both bonding with the inner child, and are you finding that the trauma that you have had, or the PTSD even from inner child, that she expresses the same sort of things?
Yes, for sure.
Oh, that's
And
awesome.
it's crazy because I remember this one incident where we came home late from a party and we were 3 minutes late. And the way she tells the story would be different than how I tell the story because it just goes to show you perspective is so important and for us to really truly understand each other because my perspective is my reality, and her perspective is her reality. So how I looked at it was it was very quite traumatic because we got locked in the basement with no food. Our friends had to come to the side door of the basement to give us food. So we'd have to like open the latch on the side door super quietly because everything was so creaky in that house that we didn't want to get in more trouble because we needed to eat, you know? And then it was like the second evening that we were down there, that my mom ran down the stairs, opened the latch, and then we were able to, you know, kind of be free. But when I was young, I played it down like, oh, that was tough love, but that's abuse.
Yeah,
That's not
I
right.
was going to ask you if you called CPS, but yeah. How did that's now I understand why you're into the whole inner child thing. I get that now. You know, that's Yeah, that would be abuse. That's the only thing I can call
Because
it.
the Asian culture, it's meant to, it's this tough love thing, but now that I know what I know, it's not right. I held a lot of re underlying resentment towards my parents that I didn't even know. And it uncovered itself when I started doing plant medicine journeys. And I can see my whole family's lineage pop up. And that's when I realized, I'm like, oh my goodness, like this is not right. This, when that incident happened, it's not right. But I was able to give my parents compassion because all I saw was them in these refugee camps, people dying around them. And it just made me think, like, oh my gosh, if they thought that this type of discipline was right, I couldn't even imagine the type of discipline that they got. Doesn't make it right, but it was, I was able to kind of give them compassion and forgive
But
them.
is that after you started working with your inner child, or not
Everything.
at the time, right?
No, not at the time, but it was after doing the inner child work. I was like, there's still something missing. So then I was introduced to plant medicine, and then that's how it kind of just unfolded itself.
I want to talk about plant medicine in a second, but I want to know right now. So, how do you know, or how does someone who's listening know that they need to do inner child work and it's not something else that's like messing with them?
I think the biggest and easiest sign to detect if you have a wounded inner child is your triggers.
Okay, like give me an
If
example.
a person gets triggered by something, that's usually stems from something deeper. Because isn't it silly to think that, oh, that person that just cut me off on the road meant to do that to piss me off?
Yeah, they don't usually, but they just do it because they've got their own thing going on, but you get pissed off because of it.
Right. And
Right?
that anger usually stems from some sort of deep-rooted pain. Now, when you go take it a deep a step further and explore that pain usually stems from some sort of childhood event that was unresolved.
So, how do you know what the event is, and then how do you resolve it? Because
That's a great.
I hear it. I hear they like, cut off in traffic, flip the guy off, go back, and it's because my mom locked me in the basement. How do you get from A to B backwards?
That's a great question because I feel like I was pretty blessed to understand now that I know what I know. I stumbled into my inner child work because I was molested when I was three, but I didn't realize that that was a traumatic event because I had stuffed that away and didn't even remember it until I went to a sales course and this person that was speaking, he just took a completely different approach. He's like, hey, if you guys want to take your business to the next level, you need to work on your emotional SHIT. And I was like, interesting. And then the words that fell out of his mouth afterwards, he's like, I was molested when I was younger. And it made me feel like I was not good enough. So it leaked into my ass, like it those aspects leaked into my business. So I would always operate from a place of not being good enough. So when I heard that, it hit me and all of these emotions started to come up. I just started crying. And the person beside me now is he's become a really good friend of mine. He just took my head, put it on his shoulder, and I just kept crying. I was like, oh my goodness. Then I started to remember what had happened. So then I started working with some energy healers. And this guy, he does specific biotune healing. So he uses tuning forks to feel my energy field to see where I was stuck. So he was able to continuously uncover where I was stuck. And it started to pique my memory. Like, okay, when you were 20 years old, roughly, there was a traumatic event that happened. It's stuck in your body. There's a male figure. And I was like, oh my gosh, that was an ex-boyfriend of mine. He cheated on me. And then he punched me in the face. And then it was in that moment, I didn't recognize it at first until he said, oh, my jaw hurts. And I was like, oh my gosh, that was that ex-boyfriend. But I think far too often when we're younger, I was taught to just kind of glaze over things like, oh, it's not a big deal. It was just a high school sweetheart. It didn't mean anything. But trauma gets stored in our body and it needs to be expressed.
It does.
sometimes when events pop up that is very similar to what happened in the past, that's what triggers are.
So you brought up so many good things that I want to ask about. One was, did you get into the plant-based medicine because of the trauma? And also, I know that you do like the sound bowls, which I think are just awesome. Did all that come out of like your trauma and trying to heal?
Yes. I got radically curious after all of that. I'm just like, oh my gosh, it was all these little light bulbs that started popping off. And then it was quite overwhelming. I'm going to be honest, because it's like, where do I start? I have all these leads now to really figure out who Kathy is, but which road do I take? So then I kind of just surrendered and I'm like, oh my gosh. At one point I just really got heavy into the meditating and really just tuned in with myself. Like, what do you want to achieve out of this, Kathy? What do you want to do? And I realized that I have a gift to make people laugh. So my goal eventually is to help people uncover trauma, but make it funny so that it's inviting.
I think that's actually a really good idea. And do you find that you as a comedian, I found that a lot of comedians have inner child trauma and they're hiding it, but they try to get it out through comedy. Do you find that, or what's
that? I definitely did that.
Yeah.
Definitely did that. When you're talking about that, it reminds me of when I was in elementary school. I was bullied heavily. And then I became the funny girl. Because nobody wants to bully the funny girl.
No.
And then it became the popular girl because I would make people laugh all the time. So then it became this thing, right? Every time there was a substitute teacher, everyone would show up to class, because before it would be, oh, there's a substitute teacher, we can skip class. But now it was, let's go to class because Kathy's going to do something funny.
So you got out of being bullied by being the popular kid, by being funny.
Right.
So let's say that there's people who have been bullied, people who have this inner trauma. What kind of things like should they be doing to help themselves and just get out of it? What's this next step? What's the first step?
The first step is really to get radically curious with yourself. Mm-hmm. Like understanding why you do the things you do, say the things you say, attract the people that you attract into your life. And then just start asking questions like, why did this person come into my life? What is the lesson to be learned here? And just really asking those deep questions, because we would ask these types of questions when we first meet somebody, but why do we not turn these questions on ourselves? And as soon as I started getting more radically curious, I'm just like, oh, it just led me to another question. And then that question brought me deeper. And then that question brought me even deeper. And then that's when I just started kind of opening up. I'm like, okay, so now that I have all these questions, like, where do I get help now? And I think letting down your ego, really letting down the ego and asking for help.
Yeah. Like, what about relationships that you currently have? Like, do those relationships come from, or do they keep suppressing the inner child? Like, if you got a spouse or you've got some kind of partner or that kind of thing?
Well, I'm separated now. We moved to Nicaragua and we separated here because we brought all of our junk here. And when you have two people that are on different spiritual paths, awakening, if you will, you either go like this or you go like this. So we kind of started moving apart from each other. And it was in the separation that made me realize that I had a lot more work to do. Because now that we're separated, I see where I still had some inner child kind of driving the car in our relationship. Because they say hindsight is always 20/20. And it totally is, because that heartbreak, it was probably the hardest thing I've ever had to deal with, but also the most rewarding, because now I'm at a place where I can look back and like, oh my gosh, my inner child showed up here, 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 and here. And now I can give myself more grace, because before it's like, why did I make this mistake? And I was so hard on myself because that's how I grew up.
Did you do the work yourself, or did you have a counselor to help you? How did you get past it?
Counselors. So one of the it gets me emotional a little bit because she really helped me out.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
counselors were really big in helping you get past it all.
Yeah. And getting past my ego, like, I can do this by myself. I don't need help. I can do this work by myself. Okay. Well, how though? We're not taught how to. We're not taught to have these open, vulnerable conversations with other people, let alone ourselves.
Correct.
Right? We're taught to think that when we are vulnerable or show some sort of vulnerability, it's weakness. So there's a lot of shame that gets tied to being open and vulnerable and showing the ugly side of our awakening because it really does get ugly. You're really breaking from your old self. And it's like there's a grieving process in trying to understand who you truly are.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
It makes total sense. It makes so much sense that I think people need to really look at themselves and go like, I need to do some inner child work. And, it's safer to say I need inner child work than I need, psychotherapy, maybe. But what advice would you have for like the individuals or people out there who may be hesitant or unsure about beginning their own journey and doing inner child work?
Advice.
Like, what would you tell them? Somebody says, you know what? I think I need to do this.
Well, I think it starts from it. Look at your current relationships around you. Like, is it working for you? Is it not? Right? And if it's not, we can only change ourselves. We can't change somebody else. We can tell someone until they're blue in the face and lead the horse to the water, whatever cliche saying you want to put out there, we still have to do our inner work. Because when we start to show up differently, the people around us start to show up differently. So I think it's about asking yourself the question, like, how are my relationships? How are my closest relationships? Are they good or are they bad?
Yeah.
Start with that question.
Good advice. Good advice. Let's do something. I want to play this or that with you. I want to
Sure.
talk about, I'm going to ask you some questions. I'm going to give you two choices. You can pick one or the other. You can't choose neither or both. Okay.
Okay.
We'll see how this goes. Let me just ask you, first question. We'll talk about inner child and real child, like coloring books or finger painting.
Finger painting. Let's get
Yeah.
dirty.
Hide and seek or tag.
That's a good one. I like both. Tag.
Tag. I like tag. Tag is good. Do you want to be it or do you want to actually not be
Oh, I want to be it because I love
it?
I'm a fast runner, so.
Okay. There's, I never got any prizes for being it or anything. It seems like there should be some.
We
So
should.
building forts or climbing trees?
Climbing trees.
Okay. Cartoons or children's books?
Children's books.
Okay. Pajama parties or playground adventures?
Playground adventures.
Ah,
I'm a total tomboy.
there you go. How about imaginary friends or secret hideouts?
I don't know. I think it depends on the mood.
Yeah, I'm trying to think myself which one
My
I'd
mood
choose
right
there.
now, I would say imaginary friends.
Did you ever have an imaginary friend?
Yeah, because they don't talk back.
Don't just tell you what you want to hear. Get this some talk.
No,
Yeah.
no.
Okay. How about storytelling or sing-alongs?
Storytelling, always.
Yeah. Board games or video games?
Video games.
I got two more for you. Sandbox or bubble baths?
Sandbox and then bubble bath.
Okay. I would say that's not choosing both. That's one or the other. And then, okay, last one, group therapy or one-on-one counseling?
Group therapy.
Okay. And this.
Can I tell why?
Yes, please do. I was going to ask you why.
Because there is a power in sharing story. When we all share our stories openly and vulnerably, we can see ourselves in every single person. And it makes us become way more compassionate and empathetic towards each other. It's like, oh my gosh, this person was portraying that she was such a strong person. And as soon as she started to share her story, it's like, oh my God, I cannot believe what she went through.
Gotcha. Okay.
So I group therapy for sure.
Awesome. Kathy, it has been like amazing talking to you. I want people to be able to stay in touch with you. So for you guys that want to stay in touch, it's on Instagram, that Kathy Ho. I love that you came up with that. And also on Facebook, facebook.com/Kathy Ho. So thank you so much for being on. And
thank you so much for having me.
We're going to do another one of these and talk about singing bowls and meditation and plant-based medicine and all that kind of stuff. So
we shall.
Thank you very much. And peace out, everybody. Okay. Bye.